Good morning. Nothing like getting your times mixed up, is there?
Yeah, I
typically, Paul called me about 15, 20 minutes ago, said, where you at? And I said, I'm about 20 minutes from your church. He said, it starts at 10. But I apologize for that. And of course, Paul is, we're very blessed to be part of a family that, of faith. And it's just such a blessing to be able to worship together as a family. And Paul is very fortunate to be able to come back home and be close to our family, to be with you in this family here. So I just thank you for that. I'm only about 3 inches taller than him, so I didn't know if he had a block up here he stood on or anything. So I remember the first time that Paul preached, he did step up on a block. He may have shared that with you guys. And ladies, I'll never forget that. He was about 11, probably 12, and he got a box back there and he stood up on it, and which he didn't grow much since after 11, but for all of us Hineses, we're all alike. So thank you for allowing us to be here today for the Gideon Ministry. Got a starting statement here I'd like to share with you. I was traveling down the road one morning and saw this sign. It said, homeless and hungry. And I work for a feed company out of Glasgow, and I travel the roads every day. But I was sitting at this stoplight, and there's the sign said, homeless and hungry. There was this man just sitting there with his head down and sitting on a, just kind of scrunched down, and he had a sign just up there, and I was at a busy intersection there in 31W and the parkway there in Elizabethtown, and God was tugging at me at that moment. As I traveled, I went through the intersection, not paying any attention to God. And he was still speaking to me. He said, you need to go back and witness to that man. You know, as we as Christians, we have responsibilities. We have opportunities daily that sometimes we do not take them. But as I was, I had an appointment. Like it was this morning late. As I was traveling on closer to my destination, God said, you need to turn around. You need to go back and witness that man. And as I pulled back around toward Dow Corning over in the side roads back over there and then got back onto the parkway and pulled right in front of him, God had have a. I carry these New Testaments in my truck with me all the time. Normally, my glove boxes, or they may be in the seat or wherever. But I had one of these New Testaments with me, and as I pulled up to that gentleman that was sitting there, he still had his head down, and as I pulled up on the emergency lane there, he saw me, and he come running just as fast as he could to me with his arms wailing, and I didn't know what I was getting into, you know, but he come up, and he said, I've been praying for somebody to stop this morning, and said, you even brought me a Bible, didn't you? And as Sometimes I get a little emotional, but God gave me that moment with that man. You know, these New Testaments, this is God's Word. And I am so thankful to be able to be in a ministry that supplies and hands these words to people, God's Word. And as we was reading the New Testament here, it's got a place in the back. It's got the place, the plan of salvation. And while I was going over that with him, you know, we as Christians, we as Gideons, we plant seeds. That's what these are. This was a seed that was planted that day. We don't know. He didn't profess his faith that day. But it was a seed that was planted. And as I was talking to him and going over some things, he was sharing with me his life. He said, I've not been homeless for only 3 months. He said, I had a drug problem. He said, I've been free for over 60 days. And those of us have been around people that maybe have drank or have had drugs in their system, you can almost smell it on somebody. You can smell it through their pores. And this man, I could tell he was clean. He was genuine. And as we talked to each other, he said, you know, I was raised in a church. Actually, my father's a pastor in Grayson County. But as we continued to talk to one another, we prayed. I said, I'd like to pray with you. And as we were praying, there were horns blowing in behind us. As I finished praying, we looked up, and there was people with hands of food, hands of money, out the windows for that man. And he said, you've opened up the floodgates to heaven. I said, I had nothing to do with it. God, it's all about God. You know, God gives us opportunities like that daily. We just fail. I know I do. I fail him daily. As I was another example of how this ministry works, God gave me I was coming in from work one day, come into lunch, and there was this young man standing in our driveway, and he had a bicycle that he was standing there, and just he was on his phone. And as I parked my truck and went back to talk to him, he said, I said, young man, are you having problems? He said, yes, sir, I am. I said, I've traveled from Washington, D.C. and traveling to Washington State. So he had a few miles to travel, didn't he? So as we introduced each other, he said, young man, I don't want to make you feel awkward or anything, but, you know, I'd like to invite you up on the front porch. If you'd like a glass of water or a bottle of water, I'll get that for you. And I've got a couple phone calls to make, and I'll take you to get your bike fixed. And he looked at me like I had three heads. You know, why would you do that? And so as God was working in that moment, in that time, and as we traveled to Elizabethtown over to the Swin shop in E-Town, God said, or God revealed to me that you know, he said, you know, does this young man have a Bible? So I asked him, I said, you're going to have plenty of time to read, aren't you? He said, yes, sir. I said, did you bring a Bible with you? So he gave me a chance to to witness that young man again. There was just a seed planted. And we can't do this as Gideons without your help, as a support from the churches that we report to. I spoke last week. Jamie and I were in a church, in a little small church, and we are very blessed as Gideons to be able to go into different churches around the world. But there are churches that are dying out here because the members are not allowing God to come enter to his church. And we are so blessed to be able to be in the churches that you feel God's Holy Spirit. And as I'm here this morning, you know, we're not here to preach. We're not here to, we're just here to tell you that you are an extended arm. You're a missionary arm of ours. That we just go out into the world to spread the word. And we can't do it without you. Who we are, we are men and women of the faith. We are also, we couldn't be Gideons if it wasn't for the pastor's support, because he has to nominate us to be a Gideon. He has to, they have to go through a process of that. Now, I know there's several Gideons within this church, and I am thankful for that. You know, if you do have any questions about becoming a member, I'm sure those men will be glad to cover that. As I know, Jamie and I, we've went through a trying time in the last month, and I know this church has prayed for our family, and we really, really appreciate that. Trisomy 18. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of that before. But our grandson was born about 3 weeks ago now, Jamie. And he lived for 32 hours. It was a difficult time. But praise be to God, he's with him right now. That little man, Elias, was his name. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is we have another program through the Gideon Ministry called the Gideon Card Program. And I got here late, so I don't know where your card display is. Or if you don't have one, we can get you one. But there was over 200 Bibles in honor of Elias given. We have had three deaths within our own camp in Hodgenville this past month. There's been over 500 Bibles that was given within those three deaths. But somebody didn't have to die to give Bibles. These Gideon Card program, it works as if you've got someone graduating, if you've got a birthday, if you've got an anniversary, or if you just got, you just want love on somebody. Because these Bibles, each one of these Bibles in a motel room touches about 2,100 lives in its lifetime. Isn't that pretty amazing? Pretty inexpensive for $5. You know, these New Testaments, they run about $1.30 a piece. You know, and these are placed into hands that are hurting. Paul did give me a time to quit. So I know I got here late, but I'm gonna stay on target. But these Bibles change lives. I'd like to read you a story of a young man that his life was changed through reading God's Word. Many years ago, a little boy was born into a church-going Christian home. He was brought up, taught right from wrong. His mother went to church most every time the doors were open, and she took their kids with her. Her father believed in God, but he didn't practice godly ways. As the little boy grew, he was taught to love and respect his parents. This is what the Bible says. Normal American family, don't you think? He loved his father, but his influence on his life was that of a verbally abusive father to his mother. As time passed, he was going to church regularly. At age 11, he walked the aisle and then was baptized. God was dealing with this young man, very active in his church, sung in their youth choir, also helping with the younger kids of their church. God wanted something more from this young man that he was willing to give. He basically turned his back on God at that time. During his teenage years, he became selfishly driven, started dating. Remember, he was taught morally right from wrong. Then his girlfriend became pregnant. So the right thing to do was to get married, both just kids themselves, getting ready for a child of their own. Soon they had a healthy baby boy. Both knew nothing about raising a baby, doing everything they could just to survive. He was working 70, 80 hours a week, and she was a full-time student. They were basically embarrassed to return back to church. Honestly, they didn't think they were worthy or good enough. This young man had a major problem. No, he didn't do drugs. He didn't have a drinking problem. He simply could not control his temper. It got so bad that his young bride took his son and left. As he was broken, he started finding other places to satisfy his selfish desires. In a short time, he got married again for the wrong reasons. This marriage only lasted briefly, but his second son was a result in that marriage. Single again, still searching for the wrong thing, he met this beautiful young lady. He persuaded her to go out on a date with him. None of their family members thought this relationship was a good idea. Actually, his family tried to convince her to date someone else. But this didn't stop them. They soon got married. Next month, Jamie and I will be married 29 years. This life was me. Soon after Jamie and I married, she developed cervical cancer. Then she had ovarian problems. After surgery, the doctor told her she probably would never be able to have children. This was a very trying time for us as a couple. After being married only a few months, the opportunity arose to get custody of my second son, which was subjected to a lot of wicked things. I didn't think I had a choice. My little boy needed a stable home. Knew Jamie was uncertain about this decision, but I made it anyway. He was a difficult child, very manipulating little boy, playing us against one another every chance he could. My job took me away from my family during the week, spending nights in motels around the country, leaving my young wife raising my son herself during the week. I was a workaholic, thought my sole job was to provide for my family, nothing else. After 2 years passed, Jamie and I's first child was born, a healthy baby boy. 2 years later, our one and only little girl was born. But my temper continued to get worse. During this time, Jamie and I grew apart, me working all the time, and Jamie was raising our kids basically on her own. By this time, my second son was out of control. He had some major issues, but I denied he had any problems. I was mad at the world. Jamie never knew who was coming home to her. Was it Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde? She was tired of fighting and losing a battle, so she was preparing to leave also. This is when God intervened. My sister-in-law, Paul's mama, came to our house one night. I was sleeping downstairs and Jamie upstairs. My sister-in-law went to her bed, knelt and prayed with her. To this day, Jamie still can't remember what she said, but God knew. After this, Jamie chose to stay. I went to my boss, asked him for a change where I could be home more on a regular basis for my family. Jamie and I started dating again. Then our third child was born again, another healthy boy. Nothing really changed other than I was home more often, but something was still missing. Jamie and I went on a mission trips, many of them together. But I still couldn't overcome my temper. I would fight with my wife and children on a regular basis, asking for respect, but getting none. Then something miraculous happened almost 6 years ago. I asked a man from our church to pray for me. We were preparing to go to Africa on a mission trip. And I asked him if he would pray that for me, for God to change me, for God to take my temper away. And as I was in Africa, our mission leader asked if I would do a sermon at one of the churches that Sunday. And as I was preparing and reading God's word, and the message that he gave me was about change. And I didn't have a clue that change was me. When I come home, I called Jamie and I said, God has took my temper away from me. She didn't believe it. God can change each one of us if we just allow him in. Sometimes we've got a hard shell. Sometimes we don't even see that we have a problem. I got kicked out of wrestling matches. I got kicked out of ball games because of my temper. And I was identified as the crazy guy. Now, did I show it to most people? No, they didn't see that. My family did. But when you open God's word up and you read it and you don't get anything out of it, there's a problem. after God cleansed my soul, He's enabled me to read the Bible daily. Every time I read His Word, it's like those words pop off the page. It's nothing about me. When I decided to change my life and God revealed Himself to me, it's like He opened my eyes. And when God opens your eyes and you read His Word, lives will be changed. And that's what the Gideon ministry, it's just, I just share that story with you because I think it's very relatable. It's not that anything I was proud of. I mean, it is embarrassing to be, the kids. I took kids on wrestling trips time after time and time, you know, and, you know, we'd laugh about it at that time. But that here's the crazy guy that gets kicked out of the matches. But God has given me opportunity many times after God's changed my life to witness to some of those boys, which are young men now, for them to see a change in me, and that change is God. Now, I didn't, like I said, I got here a little late this morning, but I don't take any more of your time, but I just want to thank you again for allowing us to be a part of this this church family through the Gideon ministry. You know, I see a lot of familiar faces in here. I really do. I know I've gotten gray-headed and gray and rounder and all those type things. We'd all do change, but you know, the main thing is the change within our heart. And so thank you again for partnering up with our ministry. If I didn't make arrangements prior to this, but we normally do take up an offering for the Gideons, and you can make the checks to Gideons International, or you can cash, or we do credit cards. So, and if anybody didn't come prepared this morning to give, give it to one of your there's some Gideons within this ministry, and so find them. Dr. Green is one of them. I think Barry's another one, and I know there's some others in his church. That's all I can think of right now. But you know, get with them, and I would like to pray over your church to close. Okay, God, I just thank you, Lord, for your timing, Lord. Sometimes we pray about selfish things. We pray about things that will make us look good or make. But God, help us to be obedient to your word, Lord. I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for Paul and Brittany. I just pray, you know, as we meet on a weekly basis, that we pray for the churches and we pray for the pastors of these churches around our communities, Lord. Continue to put your hedge of protection around them, Lord. I thank you for this congregation this morning, for the time that you have given us to share your word, Lord. God, I just thank you and praise you for everything you're doing, everything you're going to do, Lord. Pray these things in your name.